something a little different for you this morning. We found a clip of an interview I did with Gilda Radner back in 1979. On this day in 1989, May 20th, we lost Gilda to ovarian cancer. And I thought it'd be fun to listen to this conversation. She was in town for a show at the old McCormick place. Gilda Radner actually was from Detroit, Michigan. She went to school in Ann Arbor, and you'll hear a reference to what she did during her college years during this conversation. We'll play part of it for you now, and then in the next hour, a little bit more of Gilda Radner, who was one of the seven original cast members of the Not Ready for Primetime Players on Saturday Night Live from the inception of SNL in 1975 until Gilda left in 1980, and she won an Emmy Award for her performance on the show. Here is Gilda, and her sweetness comes right through the radio. This is from 1979.
Gilda Radner, did you ever do a radio show?
Yes.
I mean, your own radio show.
No, but my first job was in radio. I was the weather girl on WCBN in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I used to call the weather and write down. It took me four calls to write down everything they said, you know. And
we do it the same way here. We do the same thing.
I knew it.
But you never really had your own, like, disc jockey show or something like that.
No, but I was assigned in Ann Arbor, I remember, on Old Hits Night. I've always worked Saturday nights for some reason in my life. On Old Hits Night, I used to have to go get the old hits out of the 45s out of the file.
Oldies
for the disc jockey, right.
So you're like a gopher.
Right. I was a gopher in radio, and I'm proud of it.
Would you mind getting a couple oldies
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, sure.
Could you
okay,
do that?
Bob, I'll go now. First, I got to clean up the studio, and then I'll get you those records.
I was going to say that I would volunteer this show to give you, since you never had your own real show. And I would be
for
glad to
long?
Just leave till, you know, till 6. I'll just
no.
go home.
No, no, it's okay. I'll stay here with you.
I was going to save this penetrating question till later, but I'm going to get it out of the way right off the top here.
Oh, no.
I saw you on the Tomorrow Show. What's Snyder really like?
He's changeable. You never know.
I love his show, and I really admire him. Did you... Did you find him intimidating at all?
Here's what happened. I did the Tomorrow Show with him, and it was wonderful. We had the best time. The two of us made fun of him together. You know, going, oh, oh. We did the laugh together.
Oh, oh, oh.
And we did great, and we did so great that I went back on to Primetime Sunday. And
the interview about
right.
the show.
And maybe we were sick of each other. You know how relationships are.
No, I think he's in a much more formal mold
yeah,
in that
he was
show,
more
isn't
nervous
he?
And more, we were prime time, you know, as opposed to the Tomorrow Show. And we both, I wasn't too zippy and he was.
Well, there's something about sitting around at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's different
casually.
In attitude. I know that from doing Saturday Night Live, you know, that at 11:30, like, I figure if I come in at 1 o'clock and I'm in a bad mood, I got a lot of chances to get in a good mood. I've got all the way till 11:30 at night. If I come in a good mood, I'm in trouble, you know.
Yeah. Are you kind of zapped after that show pretty much all the
yeah.
time?
Yeah. I'm still today,
from
even
Saturday
on Monday
night show.
From Saturday.
Yeah, we should mention that Gilda Radner is just off the boat, in fact.
Yes, I came by boat from New York to Chicago.
And you'll be here for a couple days just kind of visiting your favorite radio stations, I'm sure.
No way, man. Wait a minute. Right, I just came to do some radio work here in Chicago.
The show opens up Wednesday night.
Right, at the Erie Crown.
Through Sunday night, is it?
Wednesday through Sunday. Two shows on Saturday night. And,
I see you've got some tickets with you in that little changer, the money changer on your belt that you probably stole from an ice cream man. Are you selling tickets?
Well, they call it show business, you know.
Now, wait, the official title of the show is Live from New York?
Gilda Radner, Live from New York. And but it isn't a one-woman show. You know Father Guido Sarducci?
Mm-hmm,
he's coming.
Sure, yeah.
He'll be there. And
the contest is over, isn't it? The Pope contest?
Find the Pope in the pizza?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And Rouge, of Desmond Child and Rouge. I make them into comedians. They make me into a singer.
So you've got several people.
Yeah. And Candy Slice and the Slicers. I have a rock group that doubles as an orchestra.
You should have brought them up here. We could have played one of the records.
They're not here yet. I'm like the pioneer. They'll be here.
Well, we have a very captive audience at this time, of course, because the expressway is like a parking lot. So if I can hold you here for a little bit, I want to get into other penetrating matters with Gilda Radner.
All right.
How am I doing so far? Is this okay?
Great, Bob.
Okay. We are now known as, you think we could pass as Gilda Radner, the Donnie and Marie?
Marie of radio.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, we could start a show.
The Bobby and Gilda show. Well, we'll have to give you top billing, though, I think.
No, it's all right.
It's okay.
It's okay. We'll see how we do.
Yeah. Well, let's. I got to take care of a little contest business here. You remember those radio contests, since you have a radio background?
Right. I used to open the mail.
You open the mail, yeah?
For the contest.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, we do a lot of phone call contests these days instead of mail.
Okay.
Now, why don't we do that? Why don't we do any mail contests? I don't know. Phone calls more. What's more expensive now? No, it's more expensive to. It's about the same now, but for some reason we like to jam up the phone lines all the time here. And Louis Canella of Streamwood is our latest winner of the Star Trek Star Kit and tickets to the soon to be released movie furnished by Paramount Pictures. Louis got the question correctly. What musical instrument did Mr. Spock play? You know, Gilda, were you into Star Trek at all?
I was. I didn't know he played, though.
The Vulcan harp.
By ear?
Well, whatever. I imagine so. At any rate, another chance to win coming up momentarily.
I never get to listen to radio or watch TV. It is amazing that you become really isolated from... You want to get serious for a minute here, Bob?
Well, we've been pretty serious the last 15 minutes, sure. No.
No, that...
The writers have to really be... The people who write a lot of the material have to really be... In tune to what's going on.
I mean, there's a difficulty sometimes because we're working there so many hours in a show week. We use our vacations to suddenly, you know, watch as much TV as you can.
Become a real person again.
But it's time for this Lila Coca person, I think, definitely, to get him.
Did you say you've got to work on Thanksgiving? You're doing the show?
Yeah, the show will be, there'll be a Thanksgiving show. People will be eating dinner during the show, probably. There will be Thanksgiving dinner served. I'm making it and serving it in the aisles of the show.
My sister did ask me to invite you to Thanksgiving dinner, so I would ask you the question. Well,
how late will it go? Perhaps she could leave a bag outside the theater.
I like some of the new people we're seeing on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, Harry Shearer, is that his name? I like him. He did, if you watch Saturday Night Show, he did the Safeco commercial.
That's right.
He does that really well. He was in radio.
He came out of radio. He's got a great voice.
Yes, he does.
You know, all kind, real flexible, and that's what we're doing. This year, a lot of the writers and stuff are appearing on the show and, you know, doing their own material and working in as, and then we'll see how it works out. And there's this great feeling happening, and it really started to happen on last week's show, that suddenly we're taking risks again. We'd gotten kind of settled into what we did and what was successful and what worked. And now we're taking chances, which was what was great about the show in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like scaring ourselves. And I think it'll help and be good.
You got to get warmed up a little bit, right? I mean, coming off the summer hiatus is tough.
Always, our first couple of shows... We're in a little bit of trouble, but you got, it's the type of thing, you got to stick with it, you know. Like, I always feel, last week I decided that, remember the Mickey Mouse Club?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's still like, I feel like I'm a mouseketeer all the time. Like, every Wednesday I wake up and think, today is the day that it's
Was that anything can happen day? Or
anything can
Marty,
happen
I
day. That's the day we have a read through. And, we always remember they'd have a special guest. We have a special guest every week. And it really is this little Mouseketeer Club. Or maybe I'm the only one that thinks it is.
I wear
little ears to work and stuff. And
I want to talk more about this show you're doing at Erie Crown. Okay. And also want to talk more about any openings you might have for guest hosts. But We want to return to the musical entertainment first. Don't go away, Gilda Radner. I don't know what it is about having someone look over your shoulder when you're working. Gilda Radner, maybe this happens to you. Does your job seem different if someone you know, like out of the Saturday Night Live cast, is watching you rehearse or watching you do the show?
Oh, absolutely.
Feel funny sometimes?
Sure. You get self-conscious and like even being interviewed or answering questions. And you know they've heard it before, and I'll have a tendency to say, as I was saying, to so you know, and it takes me longer to answer.
That's why we requested that you come here direct from the boat and not do any of the other shows first. It's because, see, I asked so many dumb questions. This way, at least you'd think they were
this
original.
This is the first time for these dumb questions in Chicago.
That's true, yes. All the characters are in the show you're doing at Airy Crown, right?
That's
all the characters
right.
we've seen on NBC.
Right, the one, Roseanne and Emily.
Yeah.
But you get to see the bottom half of their bodies. Most of them have been sitting behind a desk for 4 years.
Did you have to make a few adjustments because of that?
I had to learn to walk. And then I had to learn to run, and then I had to learn to dance. And that's been the best part. You know, I came to TV from doing stage work, and that they had to make me get smaller. I used to jump out of the camera. And I was a little bit too big.
They had to control you a little.
Right.
Huh?
And a littler thing goes further on television. And so now that I'm back on the stage, I'm getting to stand up and move around and not worry because I have so much energy, you know. So
yeah, that's apparent on the show. But you're right, a small gesture on television. The classic example, I guess, is Carson's face, what he can do with
a little thing,
yeah.
And draw you right to
just
it.
Just a little thing.
Right,
it's
a
amazing.
Little tiny look, and you laugh and laugh and laugh.
Who gets what on the show? How do the writers do that? How do they figure out who gets this amount of material? Or do they try and balance it out or just write for an individual? How do they do that?
Sometimes. You never know what's going to happen. It's one of the most...
It's like they always say, I know.
I came from Second City, you know, was my... And I thought nothing would be as... it was a difficult job, improvising. And every night, being back on the line, you know, like testing yourself again, auditioning again, having to be funny again. Even if you're only as successful as you were that night. Didn't matter how great you were the night before. And it's the same with Saturday night. Every Saturday, it's like starting over again in show business. You don't know how much you're going to be on. You're fighting to make the pieces you're in work because they get cut at dress rehearsal and they don't make it on the air show, or sometimes you have to go on the air on a piece that's never worked yet, you know? I once saw Dan Aykroyd. There was a piece that had never worked, and on the air show, finally, it was down to the line, he threw himself across a table like I've never seen. It was a kamikaze comedy move. If I ever saw one, got a huge laugh. And you have to. It's your only chance, you know?
You don't remember the routine, do you?
It was a meeting. It was a real formal... I don't remember the specific scene, but I was in the scene, and when he went across the table, I laughed.
Well, there must be something good, though, about having to fight and not to be in a rut, a routine.
It's not a rut.
Show. Well, that's good.
Or it's a strange rut. It's a ruddy rut.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It's the most high-powered rut I've ever been in. The most neuroses-producing rut.
Well, that's a good kind of rut, though.
Yeah.
You got to be in one, probably. Let's. We have to do another contest here.
Oh, no. Is the station in trouble or something?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? No, I think we cleared about $1,100 billion last year, but we like to keep the people coming back for more. So let's do this. We'll be right back. Before we check traffic, let's get to that winning name, the qualifying name in the Easy Street game. And Marie, why don't you take it?
Thanks, Donnie. This incredible prize package could be yours, Ellen Lannon. If you call me at 236-1117 within the next 30 minutes, except I won't be here. Ellen.
I'll handle the call, though.
Bob will answer. If you can verify that you are the Ellen Lannon whose entry we have drawn, you will win the home entertainment package and qualify for the grand prize, a year on Easy Street. So, Ellen Lannon, call me now at 236-1117 and claim your prize. Ellen!
Well, she may be calling right now, even as we speak. That's not bad. You can tell you were in radio getting coffee and records for the disc jockeys in Ann Arbor because you did that.
Getting on the air.
You did that very professionally. Now, if you want to know what people are doing as they're hearing us, you can just put on those headphones.
Okay.
And because right now, let me just reach over here. Right now, we will bring Diane in to tell us what's happening in the outside world. Diane Golcher, say hello to Gilda Radner.
Hi, Gilda. How you doing?
Hi, Diane.
Diane is the traffic person from the top of the John Hancock building.
Right, and we can see the Stevenson from here, and it is still bad news. Your best bet is to still avoid it. Talk about being in a rut. You're in a rut if you're out there. It is still slow, stop, and go crawling traffic.
You believe that, what goes on out
is
there?
Is Diane, like, tied to the top of the building?
I'm on a pole, yes. Oh, okay. I've held on for dear life.
Dangling from the antenna,
at least,
yes.
At least you're not caught in traffic.
We'll call this Monday Afternoon Live today because Gilda Radner is here, and I scribble a little note to myself. This is a very important question I was going to ask you that would make this whole interview worthwhile, and I can't read what I scribbled down here. Maybe you can decipher that, Gilda. Take a look at that little piece of paper.
No, there's something here about Banawawa Uya.
Oh, well, that's one thing. Wait a minute. That's one thing I was going to ask you. Does Barbara Walters dig the bit?
That I do her?
Yeah.
She never has phoned me.
Really, never? Never got any feedback?
I did actually meet her once, yeah. And she pulled me aside and said, do it for me, do it for me. Show me what you do. And I was petrified. My knees were knocking, and I just went, I said, hello, my name is Baba Wawa. I'm talking to you with some clever revelations, with Wapo and Wapate. And she just looked at me, and she went, huh? Well, she said, I'm working on my R's and W's. I'm working on it. And she walked away. But I don't think...
I would have been scared.
Yeah.
Ooh, what else did I scribble there? I can't make out the rest of the
interview. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I can't figure
Emily,
out what that means.
Emily.
Oh, yeah, Emily. Well, I asked you about that.
This is good. And some other little drawings. Lewd drawings.
Oh, you know, the Jewish princess is on there, too. I haven't heard too much of Rhonda Weiss. Is she on the show?
She was in the early years of the show, but she does a song because in the tradition of... they're taking saccharin off the market. And she does a painful, like, what was the song? I met him at the candy store, you know? The
Shangri-La's.
Right. A Shangri-La song about the goodbye to saccharin in the show. And she has her backup singers, the Rondettes.
Oh, you do a big production.
Oh, it's great. In a club. It's good. We all wear our purses on. We all have the same hair.
You do and a beehive
sunglasses.
Hairdo for that one?
Yes. I love it. It's like I get to wear a long dress. Remember long dresses and proms? We're like dressed for the prom.
Ah, neat. And that's one of the things in the Gilda Radner Live from New York show, which opens Wednesday night at Erie Crown and runs through Sunday night.
Sunday, right.
And Gilda will be out at Michigan and Wacker selling tickets here in just a few minutes downstairs. But the traffic being what it is.
Right, I have to leave now or I won't get to the Erie Crown by Wednesday.
That's right. We were paying attention to that traffic report. So I'll look forward to seeing the show. I know a lot of people will around here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
And I'll give you a standing ovation when I see the show, if you give me one now.
All right, here, I'm standing now.
That's wonderful. Gilda Radner. No, you don't have to do that, no.
Wonder if that woman, Ellen, whose name was picked in the contest, is calling now. Gilda Radner, it was so much fun sitting in with her in November of 1979. As we mentioned, she passed away on this day, May 20th, 1989. Such a sweetheart. Everybody loved her. Everybody at SNL had a crush on her, and I think you can hear why. She stayed around at the station because I wanted her to record a line like Roseanne, Rosanna Dana, and listen to how it went.
I might blow it. Do I go now?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Hey, Bob, it's just like my father used to say. I can't do this.
We'll keep rolling.
I forgot how to do the character. I didn't.
This is what he's going to keep right here.
Thanks a lot, Bob. It's always something.
And that night, I remember there was a little press party for her, and she was such a sweetheart. And she signed her record album for me. I'll have to take a picture of what she signed and post it on X and on Facebook.